What's good, everyone? Oh, you can do better than that. I heard it earlier. What's good? All right, so I'm Pastor Carl. Pastor Jim has the great pleasure of speaking at another church, and so they wanted to find someone that looked and talked and acted like Pastor Jim, so here I am. It's good. So, you know, we are 3 weeks away from Easter week. Is that not crazy to think about? Like where the time has gone, and I feel like we say that often. But as we were kind of thinking, you know, how do we prep for Easter? How do you prep for something like that? The thing that kept coming to mind is that all the preparation that we need is right here in this room. And what I mean by that is that you have a story. You have a testimony. Most of you in this room, I would venture to say, are followers of Christ. And so if that's the case, you have a time, a story, a something where you came to know him as Savior. You have a story of when you experienced his goodness and his grace. And those are powerful, powerful things. And I'd venture to say that they're needed now more than ever before. So the book of Revelation, chapter 12, you know, we kind of quote this verse a lot, you know. We've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and word of our testimony, right? And so with that is this, there's this picture that's painted in heaven, okay? And that picture is really this war that's happening. And can I get a little like theological kind of weird on you for a second? This is the truth, you know? And so the devil, and we see this in the book of Job as well, comes before God and is like, Carl is this, John is this, Rob is this. I don't know if there's a John or I'm sure there's a John or Rob in here, but here you go. And so there's this testimony, that this accusation, and he literally in that passage gets called the accuser of the brethren, because he stands before God telling God all the things that you have done. And Pastor Jim said a couple of weeks ago that some of the things that we have done, like they're true, right? Like they're true. But the power of Jesus overwhelms those things, erases those things, and causes us to go from death to life in Jesus Christ. And that's your testimony. The blood of the Lamb enables you to even have that. See, your testimony matters in heaven. Your testimony matters in heaven because the legal accusations that the devil makes against you, what God has done for you is greater than that. And your testimony matters on earth because some of you are sitting in this room and you don't know what God is capable of because you haven't heard from somebody else what he is capable of. So I don't care. Look at me. You guys looking at me? I'm hard to miss right now. I don't care how little your story is. I don't care how big your story is. I don't have a big testimony. Yes, you do. Because you've experienced the love and the power of Jesus Christ. And there's somebody in this room, and maybe more importantly, somebody outside of this room that needs to know that. And so this month, what we're going to do is we're going to introduce you to people that have some stories. Instead of just sermons, we're going to have conversations. And it's going to be conversations where hopefully you're empowered to know that God is good. That pain and suffering and victory and successes are able to be seen through the lens of Christ, not just because of this church, but because of what Christ did on the cross. So welcome with me Kimberly Bundy to the stage.
It's right over there.
to sit down here. I requested comfortable chairs. I'm not a small man. You know what I'm saying? So when I sit down, first I want to know I'm secure. I don't live by faith. I live by sight here. So, Kimberly, we go back a ways. So I guess I don't know that everybody here knows who you are. So I guess just give us a little back. Who is Kimberly Bundy?
Where would you like for me to start?
The beginning.
Oh, my God.
Oh, there we go.
All right. Okay.
We're good, guys.
Yes,
we're good.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
So I guess tell us a little bit about you now. What do you do for a living? What do you do here? Okay. That kind of stuff.
All right. Hello, everyone. Let's see. Well, first of all, I am the mom of four young adults and one beautiful grandson. And let's see. I work in the legal field. I've been working in the legal field since I graduated high school. And I love it, actually. But what I love most is what I do right here. I work with the single moms here, and I've been doing that since 2018, I think. 2017, 2018.
So that's a testimony right there.
Oh, yes.
Kind of tell how that came about.
I
love
goodness.
This story.
I love sharing this story because it and I share it with a lot of people, but when I started coming to the Freedom Center, I was looking around. I'm like, what's going on for single moms? You know, I was a single mom, and I needed a community. And so I attended the new members. We were doing new members classes at that time, and Pastor Jim was speaking on our pain, our purpose, and our passion, you know, and that is just huge. He talks about that a lot, and so I learned about it, and he was asking us to write down, you know, but he didn't want us to do right at that moment, but I was writing it down because I knew what my pain was. I knew what my passion was and my proficiency. I knew all that, and I'm writing it down, and I was done, and by the time he was ready to ask you, I was ready to share, and he was like, he said, well, it sounds like you're going to start a single mom's ministry, and I was like, well, no. I just said that was my passion, that was my pain and proficiency, and he said it again, and he looked at me with conviction that that was something that I was going to do, and we started with just a small group, one small group at one of our single mom's home, and that one small group turned into two and then three. And then Pastor Carl and Faye came to me and said, you know what? Pastor Jim thinks that your group is growing quite big, and it's about time for you guys to become a ministry. And that's how the ministry started.
And I'll speak just, you know, obviously, I'm not a single mother. And so, you know, you have to know when to get out of the way.
Yes.
Of something, you know, like, you know what you know and you know what you don't know, and it's just been a great pleasure to see you just take the reins and run, and for me to go, oh, that's great.
Yes.
You should do that, you know.
It's been amazing.
Yeah. So I guess you know, we want to cut this into two parts, you
okay,
know, we talked
sure.
about before, so before Christ and after.
Yeah.
So I guess talk about, you know, your history,
yeah.
you know, how you grew up,
mm-hmm.
You know, you were married.
Yeah.
How did all of that come about? And even being a part of another faith.
Absolutely. So. Yes. As a child, my mom introduced me to God and the Word. And my parents were not consistent churchgoers. So we weren't in church all the time as a family. But as I grew, I learned about the Word, and I started reading it on my own. It wasn't something we didn't sit down as a family and study the Word. I started doing it on my own as a child. I just started reading the Word, and I just wanted to know more. And as I grew older, I just started going to church on my own. My good friends and I, we just started going to church. My studies were at, you know, as a small group with in schools. Back then, we could, you know, read the Word and study together in schools. And And I learned that way, and I became saved in the seventh grade, and I was baptized when I was 18 years old. And my Christian foundation was set. I thought I had it down. I thought I was ready, you know, and nothing could break that, you know, so I thought, you know. But, of course, as I grew older, you know, the world took a hold, and you know, as you grow older, becoming an adult, things happen, and I got married very young. I got married very young, and my two older children, such a blessing, they're adopted. And at that time when I was married, I didn't think I could have children, so that's why we went into that that option, and we adopted two beautiful children. But of course, we both were young. It didn't work, but I did have two additional children. That's where my other blessings came from. So I was a single mom, young. I had four children, and I was a single mom. And in that life, I did walk through understanding and knowing that God was a huge part of that. So, you know, that was the first part.
Okay.
That was the first part.
So now your husband was Muslim.
My first husband.
Okay. So walk us through. So now you've gotten divorced. You mm-hmm. met the second man.
Correct.
Walk us through what that was like.
Well, my children were young. Some were in grade school. My youngest has special needs. He has a form of autism, so he was in elementary school. So it was a struggle. It was a struggle. And when you think you have, your faith is strong and can't nothing break it, that's when Satan comes in and says, yep, I'm going to test you. I'm going to see how strong your faith is and how strong you are in the Word. And definitely I was tested during that time. And when you are a single mom, you're going through different struggles, financial struggles, emotional struggles, spiritual struggles. So I was absolutely vulnerable at that time. And so another man came into my life, and he seemed to be presenting everything that I felt that I needed at that time. You know, it seemed that he was being good. And the scripture that speaks on our, you know, being blinded to certain things, oh my goodness, yeah, absolutely. I allowed my eyes to be shut to things, and I thought the things that I was seeing were good things. And I felt that the things that he was doing for me and my family were great things, right? And so as we went on, dating, of course, and then eventually married. But during the dating process, he eventually shared with me that he was a Muslim. And he began to share the Islamic faith with me. He began to share the Quran with me. He began to share the teachings with me. During the teachings, though, it was very interesting. As I look back on it, I realized that I wasn't grasping it. I would always have to refer back to my notes in my studies, and he would get very upset with me because I wouldn't grasp it, right? So as we went on, we did marry, and we had a Muslim marriage. And after that is when the abuse began.
So before getting into the abuse, I guess mm-hmm. talk about the difference. Like, you've got this mm-hmm. foundation as mm-hmm. a believer.
As a believer, absolutely.
And now this, you know, this man comes along. Mm-hmm. You want to be a good wife, and
yes.
being a good wife means conversion.
Absolutely.
So I guess talk about the internal struggle between those two things.
When you're vulnerable and broken, anything that the enemy says to you, okay. So everything that he was sharing with me, the studying of the Quran and all of that, I just agreed to it all. Okay. And he took me to a mosque one day, and I had no idea this was going to happen. And they brought me to the front, and then they started this conversion process. I started to say words that I had no idea what I was saying and didn't realize that I was converting. to another faith. And as I left out of the mosque after that conversion process, I was just sitting in the car, stunned. I had no idea what just happened. I got home and I just fell in line. I fell in line with everything that I was told to do. I started walking through life, work, families and friends. I wore the head covering, the hijab. I wore it all. I wore it to work. My coworkers was like, what? Around my family and friends. My immediate family actually was very distant from me after that occurred. And I felt like I was on an island by myself.
So now you're attempting to be the good Muslim wife, mm-hmm. and abuse begins.
Yeah. And the abuse began.
You know, and I'll trigger this, you know, this warning for anybody. You know, we may or may not touch some interesting subjects here, but the purpose of this is to draw light that there is hope throughout
Absolutely.
Yeah. So as much as you're comfortable getting into.
Absolutely. It was verbal abuse at first, physical abuse afterwards, emotional, mental abuse. I was absolutely broken. I had no problem receiving it. I had no problem allowing it to tackle me. But when it started to trickle down to my children, three of my children were still with me. My oldest was in college at that time. So he did not have to endure any of that. But when it started trickling down to my children is when I started seeing that this was something that I could not continue to endure. But during all of that, I was still praying the five times a day, doing everything that I was told to do and everything that even the leadership, even the female leadership at the mosque, when they knew that we were having issues, she reached out to me and I was crying and she didn't want to hear the crying. She didn't want to discuss what he was doing. She wanted to know what I was doing. So I had no support, even from the leadership. So I really felt lost. So there was one final argument that we had, and I remember that day like it was yesterday. And my children, my three children that were there, I remember them coming out of their rooms. Anytime we would have an argument, I would do my best to keep my children out of it because I did not want that. Not realizing that it was affecting them more than I realized. And that final argument that we had, I knew that I had to get out of there. And right after the argument was over, I went into my children's room and I told them, I said, pack everything, we're leaving. Now, mind you, I told them that we were leaving, but I did not tell him that I was leaving. He had no clue because he was not the father of my children. He thought I was just shipping my kids out. So I allowed him to believe that.
Now, how many years were you in?
Oh, we dated longer than we were married.
Okay.
I did not allow that type of abuse. God obviously did not allow that. He had more plans for me.
Okay.
So, and I'm grateful for that because I know that he was there. But the dating, we dated longer than we were married.
Okay.
I left him, I want to say it was 4 months after we were married.
Okay.
And I had friends pull up to help us move our things, and that moment that they pulled up is when I told him I was leaving, because then I had people there to help me and get me out of there. And so, yeah, we left.
So now we're going into the unknown.
Oh, yeah.
Here, you know, like
I had nowhere
to
go.
Yeah. So please go. What was that?
My best
like?
Friend at the time lived here in Fenton, and I had called her the night of that final argument. We hadn't talked because he had alienated me from my friends, my family, and so I called her that night, and she said, "I'm coming to get you." And I told her, no, you know, I was still trying to stay there, you know. I said, no. And she said, no, I'm coming to get you. And it was, I want to say it was like 3 days before Thanksgiving. And she pulled up and we just packed everything that could fit in that U-Haul, anything. Whatever didn't fit didn't go. We didn't care. I didn't care. So she brought us here to Fenton. I had nowhere to live, and We stayed in her house for a couple weeks. She helped me get the kids situated in schools. My kids had no idea that we weren't going back to Detroit. My youngest was, he was happy. He adjusted faster than the rest of us. My daughters was like, "Mom, are you kidding me? Wait a minute, we're not going back? What?" My daughters did not accept the situation.
So I guess, so now you've come out, you've been in Detroit.
Yeah.
There's a certain culture.
Yes.
You come to Fenton.
Yes.
Different
yes.
culture. So what was that like?
Well, mind you, I was still in that Muslim mode. I still wore the hijab. I still wore the coverings. I still wore all of that. Even when I met with the amazing man that allowed us to rent a home, when I met him, he only spoke to me over the phone. And when I met him in person, the first thing he said to me, he said, "If you have any issues, you call me." And so it was welcoming from the moment we got here.
Yeah, so it's almost like there's kindness out there. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Then I met a wonderful, wonderful woman who was attending Freedom Center. And her name is Shaney. And she, yes, she invited me here. The first time I came here, I think I wore my head covering the first time I came here. And I remember her inviting me to a women's outing, and it was something that went on outside. It was outside, and it was during Ramadan. I didn't wear my hair covering, but I still followed the practice, and I didn't eat when I came. But it was interesting how the women were so welcoming and so loving, and they just wanted to get to know me. And it was the most amazing experience I ever had, coming into a church.
So I guess, so you've come into this church,
mm-hmm.
you're starting to find home.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So what was it that then began to reignite your faith? Like, walk us through mm-hmm. what was the process? Because obviously you're coming into this, you're
yes.
still wearing the head coverings,
yes.
you're still practicing,
yes.
you know, Islam.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
Jesus, thank you, here we go.
It was 2013, and I remember coming into worship. I can't remember the song, but I remember coming into worship. And I remember the words, Jesus and God. And I remember initially when I came to church, because there were certain words as a Muslim, you weren't supposed to speak them. So when I stood up to do worship, I was singing in my head. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this music is amazing. And I just felt, I could feel something changing. And so I came to worship again without my hair, the hair covering. And I remember standing up and participating in worship and opening my mouth and saying the words. I remember being able to say, Jesus. Yeah. And I remember leaving and going home and sitting on the edge of my bed. And I asked God, I said, so what am I supposed to do? What is it that you want me to do? And I could hear him say, pray to me the way you used to pray. And I remember falling to my knees and saying the Lord's Prayer, because that's all I knew. That's all I could say. I was just like, oh. And I said the Lord's Prayer. And I stayed down there for so long. And I could hear my kids, because I was in my room, and I could hear my kids outside of the room having fun with their family. But I remember just praying the Lord's Prayer over and over and over and over again. And I stayed down there on the floor for so long. And then when I finally got up, I knew at that moment that I was not going back.
You know, I find it interesting, and I don't want to discount anybody else's story with this, right? But your tears right yeah. now, we've talked about marriages ending.
Yeah.
There's not tears. We've talked about abuse. There's not tears. Where we see tears is when you experience the goodness of God
Absolutely.
Again.
Absolutely.
And I love that. I love yeah. that. That's such a powerful thing.
Yeah.
Because you realize how much God helps you be an overcomer. He's already Absolutely. Done the work, right?
Absolutely.
That's such a powerful thing.
Absolutely. I knew at that moment that I had a purpose. He kept me safe. He kept my children safe. Because I had a purpose. So I knew that. I knew that at that moment. I didn't know what it was at that moment. But I knew at that moment. Yeah.
So I guess talk about what happened after. You know, because testimony is more than just I've come to know Christ. You know, like, so now does life get easier? Does life get harder?
Oh, my gosh. It got extremely harder because I knew at that moment things were going to change, but I didn't know how they were going to change. Not only did they change in my spiritual life, they changed in my home life with my family, how I communicated with them. It changed in my life with my job. I left a job that I was with for 16 years. Because I knew that I need that was not where God wanted me to be. And I was blessed with my current job. And the reason why I say that I was blessed, I left that job. I took a $5,000 pay cut and I took another job. And I remember getting my first paycheck. And I remember that first paycheck was the exact same amount that I was making at the other job. And I was like, how? And I'm just like, nothing but God. And from that moment on, it's just been increase after increase and blessing after blessing and attack after attack from the enemy. And I knew that God had a plan for me. I knew he did. And that was just, you know, my goodness, that was years ago. And oh my God, it's just been nothing but blessing after blessing after blessing. And just growth, my spiritual growth. It's just been amazing.
So we're wrapping up here pretty soon, but I guess, you know, talk about you've come out on the other side of this.
Yes.
What would you tell people? We'll do kind of a two-parter here.
Okay.
One, what would you tell people that they've embraced, you know, whether it's religion, whether it's, you know, something of the world, but they've embraced an ideology, a life that's different than the foundation of Christ that they've maybe experienced in their past. What would you say to them to come back to Jesus for that?
The first thing I will tell you is the first thing is to recognize how different. Because I saw the difference between having that Christian foundation, and I could not retain one thing that I was being taught as a Muslim. And when I look back at it, it was because my spirit was like, no, no. You have this foundation, this Christian foundation. Obviously, God has a plan for you. And if you're choosing to walk away from it, and I always use this example when I speak with my single moms, God, I use a person where God is holding on to me, right? And then all these different things that come in the way. And you walk away from him, but God is always there. And all these things, you go ups and downs, and you find yourself just, why are these things happening to me? Why is this happening to me? What is going on? Because you have walked away from God. He's always here. He never leaves us. But we are the ones who walk away from him, and I promise you, walking away from God is not going to bring you better. It may feel good and it may look good, but it's nothing but a mirage that the enemy has created for you. It is not the truth. It is not real.
So now you've got this foundation.
Yeah.
What would you say to people? I guess simply, why stay? Because I know it hasn't been easy, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah.
you've come back to faith. I know that there's blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's attack.
Mm-hmm.
So why, what is it about faith in Christ that helps you handle the ups and the downs the way that you do?
I've learned that God is love. And love is the most important thing, I believe. And I recognize that his love can conquer anything and everything. And I love that feeling. And no matter what I went through, I realized that he still loved me. And all the decisions and choices that I made, because they were my choices, he still loved me. And no matter what decisions that we make, he still loves us. So it's the love, his love.
Amen. Right on.
Yeah.
Can we give Kimberly a hand for being up here? So, Linden Campus, Pastor Jason, love you dearly. The fist bump thing, I don't know if you're still looking for that, but there you go. Altar workers, actually, I'm going to have you guys stand to your feet as we get ready to close. Altar workers, you can come down because I think this is a time where people need prayer. You have a story. And what I'm hoping through that is for you to be able to see that through what Kimberly has shared, there are things that are possible for you. Like, there is nothing that you have done that keeps you too far from the Father. There's no place that he won't pursue you. There's no place that the Holy Spirit does not want to draw you back to him or draw you to him for the first time. And I'm going to stand on this stage and say, I don't know why you went through what you've gone through. I have no idea. What I know is that this isn't heaven. What I know is that there are times where people here suck. What I know is that there's times where we suck. But none of that negates the goodness of God. And none of that negates that there is a God who loves you enough to pursue you. And hopefully you saw something that Kimberly said in here that would empower you to know, man, I did not know that that was possible with God. I did not know that it was possible to overcome there. I did not know that I could find my purpose through him in that way. And I know that there are women that are so glad that you came back to Jesus. Like, I know that there are, you know, single mothers are a forgotten demographic in a lot of churches, and they're not here because of her. And I cannot even begin to say thank you. But all of that is because you never, God never let you forget the foundation that he laid in you. Never let you forget. And through other religions, through other ideologies, through abuse, through pain, through, here you are. So instead of me, I told her I was probably going to do this. I'm going to have Kimberly close out in prayer, because I just think she should. And so I hope that you guys saw something in here today. Not, again, not because of Freedom Center Church. We are so happy to be a vehicle for the Holy Spirit to do whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. But none of this is because of us. It's because of God. It's because of the Father. It's because of Jesus' finished work on the cross. It's because of the Holy Spirit that was sent to empower you with gifts and these beautiful things that draw people to a loving Father. Pray us out.
Just giving you glory, all the glory, Father God. It's all to you, each and every person here. Lord, I just ask that you sprinkle just your love over each and every one of them. Lord, I just thank you for just allowing you to flow through me to share with each and every one of these individuals this morning, Lord. And I pray that your word, my testimony, your blessings have touched one of these. If just one person received what you needed them to receive today, Lord, then the job was done. God, as we leave here today, we just ask that you go before us and follow us and be with us and touch each and every one of these people from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet and wrap your love around each one until we can be together again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much. Have a wonderful morning. If you need prayer for anything, come this way. If you don't, go tell the world about Jesus that way. Have a good morning.